it takes quite a bit to set up, because you have to block in order to get there. You got to park about 4 blocks away, and then I have my own portable hand truck that I can set everything on. And when we get out there, we start setting up, and you know, anybody can set up out there. And so sometimes we're in between the tarot card reader and the crystal ball reader, and they just look at us like we're not getting any business today. So we set up our Catholic sign, and then it's amazing the amount of people that pass by who are so happy to see us out there. And then one lady said, who came by and said, "I never knew the Catholic Church did stuff like this." And I took the opportunity to say, since 33 AD, she got the message.
Welcome to Stories from the Street. I'm Brian.
And I'm Beth.
And today we have our very own Philip Bellini, who's a team leader down in New Orleans. And we're going to be speaking to him about his experience of being a team leader with St. Paul Street Evangelization.
Brian, I love this. I'm so excited about this podcast.
You're excited about every podcast, but what makes you in particular, what makes this podcast, you know, even exciting in this moment?
Well, we're going to talk with Philip, and he is one of our team leaders. And I love talking to the team leaders. I'm so inspired by them and the good work they do. You know, they are the core, the heart and soul of our apostolate. We do all these things, but the bottom line is those team leaders on the street with their teams going out faithfully. I mean, that's what we're about. We're about street evangelization. And I love hearing their stories. I'm so inspired by them.
And sure, you asked who is St. Paul Street Evangelization, and the first thing that comes to my mind is our team leaders. Like that's who it is. And
yeah,
like, without them, you know, we're just, you know, rosaries and miraculous medals. what makes us is the people who love the Lord and love the church and who are bringing people to the church, and we just give them the resources to do it. That's all.
Right. And when we talk with them, it's interesting because they tell us their stories and they also make it seem so easy, because it really is. It's just an act of the will. Like, I choose to go out and do this, and it's not as scary as people think. And so that's the other reason I like talking about them. They bring it down to the level of, so everyone can recognize, I can do this too. I can do this too.
Well, you just went out with Steve, didn't you, down in Florida?
Yeah.
How did that go?
It was so great. We were in Venice, and we had team leaders come from, three different team leaders came, each driving over an hour to get there. So it was wonderful, and we were there, and we had a great experience. It's always fun to evangelize with Steve. I know anyone that's going to be coming up for the immersion in June, they'll be able to do that. It's really fun because he's a really great evangelist. You know, it's like, this is how we started. So it was good. And we had three different team leaders. We're going through talking to the people. It's Venice. It's Florida. It's spring break time. So there were lots of people on the street to talk with. And so, yeah, it was great.
That is true. I remember being intimidating the first time I went out with Steve. It was like 1 month into me working for the apostle. And he goes, "Brian, I want you to fly with me to Austin." And we didn't start doing street evangelization when we got to Austin. We started in the airport. we go there. He's like, "Well, we're here early. We have about an hour before our flight. You know, let's go talk to people about Jesus." That's what he did.
That's how it goes. Our waiter for dinner, we talked with him the whole way through dinner about different things. And he was kind of falling away, wasn't quite sure things. And then right at the end of dinner, Steve just pulled him aside and just talked to him the whole thing. It's like, it's about salvation. It's about salvation. So after developing a little bit of a relationship through the dinner, he just came down with, you know, throw down the trump card. It's about your salvation. Take this seriously. And, you know,
Is this your waiter? Is that what you're saying?
Waiter? With our waiter, you know, so it was good. It was good to hear him, how he did that. Gently brought, you know, develop the relationship through dinner, and then and then saying that. Because evangelization, yes, we want people to be more aware of the church. We want all these other things, but it is about souls, saving souls, bringing souls back to Christ, recognizing the need for Christ for their salvation. So it was good to hear that.
Yeah, and I think very practically, like we've mentioned that before, like a waiter and waitress is a very good way in an open door to be able to talk to people about their faith, because you can just give them a miraculous medal, let them know you're about to pray for your meal. And even for me, when I was at the airport, we'd say, we didn't just go to random people as they were trying to check their baggage or something like that. We actually went to people that looked like they just had some downtime. Some of them, a lot of them worked at the airport, like the shoe guy. I still remember this. I mean, this was back in October of like a year and a half ago, not even last year. And I still remember the conversations I had with the people at the airport with Steve. And I particularly remember the man who polished shoes that was profoundly moved by us giving him a medal and speaking with him.
Right, right. Those are those divine appointments that we have. And then when you go out on the street, it's not that much different in as far as the conversation, but you're just there waiting for people to come and there's so many people that come up to the table when you're out there on the street and they say, you know, I asked the Lord to put someone in my path. You know, I've heard so many team leaders tell the stories of that. And then here you are, you're right there for them. The Lord guides all of those encounters. So
yeah. And I think it's just also about taking advantage of, you know, the divine encounters. And as you become accustomed to it, just recognizing when those encounters are possible, just as you mentioned, the waiter and at the airport, the people who had downtime, you kind of see the doors that are open for you in your everyday life. And then also, I mean, one of the things we talk about as a team leader, you know, potential opportunities that might be locally. And, you know, one of our favorite things that we want to speak about with Philip as he's coming on is what he does with Mardi Gras down in New Orleans, because that's you know, and he has some great stories of being out there during that time. And, you know, it's like, wow, taking advantage of these opportunities to be able to share our faith where it's quote unquote not weird. You know, you know, it's like here's an open door, and it's actually going to be a door that's going to lead to fruitful conversation.
Yeah. A number of our team leaders do take advantage of whatever the event is in their area. Some don't recognize, like, oh, there's a parade, so I really can't go out. But, you know, those are perfect times to go out when people are gathering for whatever your city festival is. If it's a fall, you know, Oktoberfest, or if it's a summer 4th of July thing, those are great times to go out as people are gathering and they're in the park waiting for the parade. They have a lot of downtime, and you can start many good conversations. I was out at a Martin Luther King Day once, and it was a beautiful time in the park. Lots of people around and lots of people to talk to.
Amen. Well, let's bring Philip on. I mean, he is a team leader with us. He's also works for St. Stephen's Parish down in the Diocese of New Orleans. He's been a director of RSA, I believe, for 30 years. So a lot of time working and actually educating people within the church. And then ever since he's been with us for the past 6 years, he's been doing this, bringing the gospel out to the street as well. So we're excited to bring him on. Philip, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
As Beth said, we're so excited to have you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, welcome. Yeah,
thank you.
It is. And, you know, we just want to give you a chance. How is it that you actually found out about St. Paul Street Evangelization?
Well, it's interesting because we were having a lot of meetings in the Archdiocese about 6 years ago about the new evangelization and evangelizing. And for a few friends of mine and I discovered, okay, we want to do more than just talk about it. We want to actually, let's throw caution to the wind and get out there. And then I actually happened to go online and I saw what Steve Dawson was doing, and I said, St. Paul Street Evangelization, never heard of it. What's going on here? So I started reading all about it, and I said, and I showed it to a couple of other directors, friends of mine, and they said, this is the challenge we were looking for. We want to get out there in the streets where the rubber meets the road. There are lapsed Catholics out there. There are those who have misconceptions about the faith. Let's get out there. Let's trust in the Lord, throw caution to the wind, so to speak. And we decided to get a team together, and we are certainly glad that we did.
I love
that's
phrase.
How it all began about 6 years ago.
Throw caution to the wind. I love that.
Oh, thanks.
It is. Well, it's true. You need to. It's about just getting out there and just putting yourself out there for the Lord. And it doesn't have to be everything, every duck in the row. You know, you can just you go out there and you trust that the Lord is going to guide you.
Exactly. And we decided that on our first time out, we were going to be just a little bit easy on ourselves to see where, you know, who was going to come by. We went to an easy spot, which is here, which was in New Orleans City Park. It's a very light atmosphere, a lot of people walking by. So we set up out there, and my two other friends who were with me on that, whose names are Trevor and Daniel, said, you know what? We're all looking at each other like we're a little nervous. And you know what we forgot to do? We forgot to begin this with prayer. So we set our little decade of the rosary. And I'm telling you, the fear just disappeared. And we all thought to ourselves all at the same time, we're out here representing the Lord. He's with us. What's there to fear? And the rest, it just started flowing after that.
Wow. That is so cool. And so, I mean, that's one of the things that we try to encourage, right? As we start all of our teams, you know, it's like, man, make sure to always begin with a prayer. Just it helps you recognize who is in charge of the evangelization. You know, it takes the pressure off, like, really.
Right. Right. That's so key.
Was there any story in particular that you even remember from that first outing? Like, how'd it go? After you mentioned, like, things started going after the prayer. Like, what happened?
Well, we just started. It was a very family area, and so families started coming by. First of all, we didn't know at that time that there's really not supposed to be religious groups in the park, but we were out there. There was no problem, and apparently nobody saw us. Like, apparently the Lord hit us so we could get our first time in, and just families started walking by and saying, and started asking questions. And, you know, we got questions like, you know, my wife and I were contemplating Catholic faith. Do you have anything here that, you know, that might help us to begin? And you know, yeah, we give the rosaries and miraculous medals and so forth, and we had the pamphlets out. But it's that eye-to-eye focus, looking at them and saying, and they're seeing that you're out there witnessing for the faith, and they're more inspired by that. See, because when people come to RCIA in the parish or whatever other adult instructions that we have, you got a captured audience. They're here because they want to be here. But when you're out on the street, you don't know who's coming by your table. And it's a little bit of a challenge. So it's being ready. It's eye-to-eye contact. It's praying with them while they're there, and then praying for them after they leave. But it was just that first time out, it was just basic questions about the faith and what is this medal. And a lot of it, our first time out, was getting rid of misconceptions people had about the faith from fundamentalists who were passing by. So we consider that a positive step in evangelization if we can get rid of misconceptions about our faith.
I love that idea. That's what evangelical apologetics is. It's not so much about beating someone over the head with something. It's more like clearing the way. Let's get rid of this misconception so you can then have intellectual permission to go the next step. Because if you have some weird misconception, I can't go to Catholics because they, you know, worship Mary is a key one. It's like, if you can get rid of that misconception, then maybe I can consider it.
Absolutely. And this one, believe it or not, our first outing compared with our last outing during Mardi Gras, things have changed, and it's changed in this sense that, yes, we still do get evangelical Protestants come to the table, and sometimes they'll want to have a little debate with you and things like that. Now, it's mostly people coming to the table who are skeptical about belief at all. And so more of our pamphlets regarding atheism are going out. If it's something regarding atheism or skepticism or agnosticism, we want to talk to them one-on-one. We just don't want to hand them a pamphlet. And then we can engage in a conversation, because looks like many people are not prepared for the challenges that the world is sending their way. And as a result, skepticism breaks through and so forth. So then it's good to pull them off to the side and have a conversation with them.
Yes. And do you pray with the people also?
Yes. As a matter of fact, this was like a couple of years ago. I saw a team leader from another team say, not only do we say we're going to pray for them, we want to pray with them at that moment. And I thought to myself, how come I'm not doing that? And that's exactly what needs to be done. So now let's say a prayer together and then let them know we're going to pray for them afterwards as well.
Yes, that's great.
So one of the big things that I know we emphasize on the national level is you don't have to have a theology degree to go out. Is there anyone on your team who's expressed, you know, concern about addressing people about the Catholic faith because they don't feel equipped because they don't have a degree?
There are a couple of helpers or volunteers on our team that feel that way. But for myself and the other two guys, actually, no. First of all, we're out there because of love for the Lord. Secondly, we're out there because of our love for neighbor. We want to bring them to the Lord. So when we get some, there are sometimes intimidating, I wouldn't say intimidating questions, but questions that maybe I wish I knew more on. But, and that's a good question, but because there's love involved here for our neighbor, they see we're coming across in a spirit of love and not confrontation. And that breaks down a lot of doors, and that breaks down a lot of rules. I found that what Archbishop Fulton Sheen said is true. Don't listen so much to what people say, it's just to try to find out the reason why they say it. Mm-hmm. And so we try to find out why, you know. And more often than not, we have found that, yeah, there's a few out there who have read a little bit of science and they've determined probably there is no God. But 90% of the people that we meet on the secularist side or the skeptic side are because they had something happen to them in youth, or they're mad at God. And mostly it's because they are mad at God, didn't get something that they wanted, or something bad happened in their life, and so forth. That's the reason why they're skeptical. And in these conversations we have at the table, that's why these little icebreakers or the rosaries and things are so important at the same time, is because it kind of breaks down a wall when you start having a conversation and you start finding out people are hurting and they're just really, they're not just believing in God. They're just mad at him because something in their life has turned them off to it. And that's where we can kick into play. So actually, we're not really worried.
That's really clear what you just said. I just want to reemphasize that it's about listening to where they are. Why, you know, mm-hmm. why are they thinking this? Why are they upset or whatever? And that's why our method, you know, it starts with listening. Listen, befriend, proclaim, invite. And with this little icebreaker to start it, then you can listen and hear their story.
That's correct. And it usually works. And there are some who are determined that, you know, this is not for them, and they have to express their disagreement by walking by or saying something. And there's, you know, that little bit of the negative side of people passing by. But we actually engage them and tell them, you know what, we're praying for you too, because we, you know, this is what we're out here for. And, you know, every now and then there was one guy, we usually evangelize by, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but right in front of Jackson Square, right across from St. Louis Cathedral, there's a big square of painters out there, and it's like a free section. Mm-hmm. And is that's there, what we like to go into. Go ahead.
There are also delicious beignets right in front of there.
Oh, about a block away.
About
a block away.
If you, that's my, you know, understanding a map of New Orleans. It's like, I remember getting those.
Absolutely. And then sometimes the team goes to get.
I do remember eating some delicious beignets.
Oh, yeah. And sometimes the team will go to get those beignets.
It sounds like a perfect location. So there you are, right outside the cathedral, and it's like festival almost atmosphere, the way you're describing it, with different people coming and going. That sounds like a fun
go ahead, I'm sorry.
Atmosphere. It just sounds like a fun atmosphere. Go ahead. You can explain.
It is. And so we go out there, and it takes quite a bit to to set up, because you have to block in order to get there. You got to park about four blocks away, and then I have my own portable hand truck that I can set everything on. And when we get out there, we start setting up, and you know, anybody can set up out there. And so sometimes we're in between the tarot card reader and the crystal ball reader, and they just look at us like we're not getting any business today. So we set up our Catholic sign, and then it's amazing the amount of people that pass by who are so happy to see us out there. And then one lady said, who came by and said, "I never knew the Catholic Church did stuff like this." And I took the opportunity to say, since 33 AD, she got the message.
That's true. I've heard people say that too. And it's like, you know, it's right there in scripture. We've been proclaiming it from the beginning.
Exactly.
No,
exactly.
That's so funny. Mm-hmm. Now, tell me, we talked a little bit about divine encounters, Brian and I, at the beginning of the episode here. Tell me, have you had any of those, during your evangelization, as you set up, have you ever had people come by and it's like, wow, this person was meant to see us today?
Yes. I'll give two stories. First one was I was at a parish fair. And this is kind of a light one, but still important. The priest had asked us to come out and set up for his parish fair because he believes, as we do, that there are many lost Catholics walking around that parish fair, and he wanted to engage them. So he allowed us to come in, and we were there for a couple of hours, and one lady passed by, and she said, "You know what? I told the Lord that if I see somebody today witnessing or evangelizing for the faith amongst the fair," this was out of the blue, that would be my sign that he wants me to enter into the RCIA program and become Catholic. And
wow.
Then I found out. And so she sat there talking to us for a while. Sure enough, I found out. She gave me a call by this past year. So it would have been September of 2018. She was in RCIA classes. It was just a matter of being out there and evangelizing for the faith. One of the most powerful ones, the second story, would be the one we just had in Mardi Gras. First of all, you have to know how to evangelize Mardi Gras, because if you come while the parades are going on, you're kind of set back behind the sidewalk. So everybody's got their face facing the floats and the parades coming by. Nobody comes by. You have to be there before the parades start and then just wait it out. And then when parades are over, people start mingling by and they start coming to your table. We had one lady that came by. We had one lady that came by. And I've been away from the church for 10 years. And I left the church, and I've been mad at God ever since he took my son from me in a motorcycle accident. And what do you have to say about that? I said, "I don't have anything to say first off, but we are going to begin with a prayer," and prayed together with her. And I said, "You know, we got into this little conversation, and she kept mentioning how unhappy she was. And I said, 'You're unhappy because you're letting all these years, all of this float on you. You're mad at God. You're mad at everyone else. And you can have all of this burden lifted from you.'" And I said, "We have confessions right inside the church." It was something very direct. Usually I try and build up to it, but I just felt she needed it right then, there, and now. So I felt like the Holy Spirit was guiding me in that particular instance. And I said, "You can get rid of all of this off your back and become, and you've always been a child of God. He's always going to love you, but he wants you to get rid of all of this. And this is how you can do it. So I would invite you to please take advantage of confession that we're having in the church right now. It just happened to be 3 o'clock on Saturday where we were having our confessions." And, she thought about it. I said, "Let's pray together a little more." And so I gave her a few pamphlets and medals, and I said, "Remember, God doesn't want you to have, you know, let it go." And I said, "God knows the reasons why he took your son, but now it's time for you to come back. He doesn't want you away anymore." And she wound up going to confession, and it had been 10 years, and she felt like when she came out, she was crying. She said, I feel like I have the world off my back.
And did she come back up to you afterwards? She came back?
Yes, she did. Oh. Yes, she did. And so it was a very moving story. And we had very few things happen to us that day, just giving out many things, pamphlets and medals and rosaries and so forth. But that was, as I told you at the beginning, if it's just one, then all of the time, all of the effort, all of it's worth it. And so I keep thinking that every time we go out, just one, hopefully more, but just one. And that's why I love St. John Bosco's motto, give me souls. And so that's kind of like our motto for the group.
Give me souls, Lord. Bring me souls. Yes, that's so beautiful. And you never know who the Lord is going to put in front of you. And like you said, you couldn't have prepared for that particular encounter. Like, you know, like you're going to study what's the perfect answer or this or that.
Right.
You don't do that. It's like the Holy Spirit prompts you right then. She needs Jesus. And the Holy Spirit prompted you to be bolder than normal as far as directly inviting them to confession right then. I mean, all of that is part of just giving it to the Lord, getting it out, just going out there and say, Lord, I'm yours for this 2 hours, whatever it is. Bring me souls. Bring me the words. You know, it's so beautiful when I hear this.
You're right, Beth. It's true.
Yeah, it just makes me think of like why street evangelization, and you know, we live in a modern world, we have so much technology, but there's just something real about being in front of another person, and there is no way that any other form of communication besides face to face would have been able to move that lady or even move that first person who was looking to join RCIA. You know, it's like these face to face, these person to person encounters are incredibly moving and incredibly effective, you know, to bring you Jesus and the Lord into people's hearts and minds.
Mm-hmm. I can't add anything to that, Brian, because it's true. It's all for the good Lord.
And that's exactly why we had this podcast. And, you know, that's how this got started, right? Like it was Steve was like, I was present at the farmer's market and this guy went back to confession after 30 years. People were like, what? Like, you know, I want to be able to be a part of that. And, you know, just let me join the same movement. And now, you know, here we are podcasting you because it wasn't just Steve, it was his presence. And now we can empower other Catholics that have the same presence.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And you've been doing this for a number of years now, right?
It's been 6 years. We, as I said, our first outing was the easy one where we went to City Park, but then after that, Our favorite setup is to go down by St. Louis Cathedral in the French Quarter, in front of Jackson Square, in between the cathedral and Jackson Square, and set up down there because anybody can come by. We definitely wanted to do a Mardi Gras parade. So we figured what a great way to set up and thousands of people passing by. We've done two evangelization of New Orleans Saints football games, where we actually go and set up where we can and thousands of people pass by, and to go to the football game. And we thought, hey, let's try and go set up and do that. And each time we've done that, I mean, they've wiped us out of things that we've had on the table. We wound up going back empty handed, which we love. Things like that. And now we're about to prepare. I don't know if you've heard of it, but we're about to prepare to go and evangelize in front of a church for Jazz Fest in New Orleans. Jazz Fest is big. Comes at the end of April, beginning of May, two separate weekends. We're going to, a pastor at Holy Rosary Church in New Orleans asked us to come set up in front of his church because he's in the main walkway to get to the Jazz Fest where tens of thousands of people go. And so he said, you'd be right in the walking area. You want to come do it? I said, we didn't even have to think about it. And so I said, there's only one thing you got to do for me. You got to give us a parking place and we'll come too. Because it's impossible to park around there. But he says, you got a deal. And so we're looking forward to that, the last Saturday in April and the first Saturday in May, to get out there and to get that done. Last year, I should mention really quickly that we were approved by Notre Dame Seminary as part of their pastoral program, which means that our program was approved where seminarians could join us out on the streets in order to gain their needed pastoral hours towards graduation. And last year we had four or five seminarians join us on six or seven outings, and they were of immense help. And they said it really helped them to learn what it was really like to evangelize when you don't expect what's coming. And so we're going to continue with that program next year. I couldn't do it this year for time constraints, and I take care of an elderly mom who's sick, and so I didn't have the time. But this coming year, again, we'll be back out on the streets at times, having four or five seminarians with us, and they loved it, and that was a great learning experience for them. And even the head of the pastoral program at Notre Dame Seminary told us, this is a great learning program that I think we need to have to get all of our seminarians involved in. So I'm very happy about that. Thanks be to God.
That's so interesting. We're getting more and more seminaries involved with what we're doing. We're giving trainings there. We work in the pastoral program for right here locally at Sacred Heart, a couple others also. So that's great to see, because the new priests that are coming out will have this hands-on experience, this direct evangelization experience.
Absolutely.
As they start. So I'm so pleased to hear that going on down there
also. Yes, very important.
Yeah. When I was in seminary at the Mount, our second podcast with Deacon Patrick May was them using our materials and methods to go to different college campuses and do this. So it is so cool to see, you know, the church and these priests in formation. And like in these, and not just the seminarians, but the administrative staff seeing you, there's something, a great value here that you can provide in formation for our priests. Like, we want them to be exposed to street evangelization. So that way, you know, when their parish priests and their pastors, they can bring this right to their parish as well.
Right. It's not hard to get started either. I mean, you take the basic evangelization training, which gives you just the real basic steps that you need, you know, how to tell your testimony, how to, you know, proclaim the gospel, how to start conversations and stuff like that. You learn those basic skills and then you go right from there. So that's great. And anyone can do it. Really,
anyone can do it. If I can do it, definitely with the Lord's help, anyone can do it. And after when we started this 6 years ago, so I've been 24 years. That was 24 years of preparation of religious ed work and other apostolates that I've involved in. We're all preparation for this St. Paul Street evangelization, because I needed all of it in order to get out there. But at the same time, once you get out there, you realize it's just a matter of talking with people. It's about communicating. It's about pointing to the Lord. And, you know, it's not as difficult as you seem.
Right. I like what you said at the beginning. Love God, love your neighbor. That's what it comes down to. Love God, love your neighbor. And those few skills you can get through our courses, whether you bring us down there or go with the online courses, they're available. And that gets you rolling. And as you do it, you develop as an evangelist and you learn to hear the Lord as you're evangelizing and everything. But you don't need to be a theologian to get started. Just get started.
Exactly. Right. Well, the thing I want to emphasize, Philip, is you're a volunteer, you know, like, you know, we're empowering you with, you know, our BET and our education, and we're doing our materials as well. But the fact that you have a whole seminary and like a, you know, they're able to come to you for their own formation, you're doing all this on a volunteer basis. And I think that's one of the things that when people go to our website, they're surprised to see that we have this many teams and these many volunteers willing to go out as much as they do. But it's all because, you know, the great faith you have and the fruit that you see from being present there in the community.
Well, all I can give all the glory goes to God on that. And I'm happy to have, I'm glad I said, yes to doing street evangelization because one of the best choices I've ever made in my life. Mm. And it's been that motivating, inspiring, and you're where the rubber meets the road. I mean, you're right there in the trenches on the street and talking people face to face. And it kind of gives you just a little bit, a very small glimpse into what it must be like to be a missionary in a foreign land. And it's not much easier here in the sense of the country we live in, but still, it makes you see, the great love they must have in order to go to different lands in order to proclaim the gospel.
Philip, last question, just like, what advice would you have for our team leaders and those who are already involved in the apostolate?
Well, that's a good question. I'm sure many of them have their own ideas in the areas in which they evangelize, but I would just say try not to let things or obstacles get in the way of going out into evangelization. Go out there, and I'm sure they do, with a great spirit of love for God and for their neighbor. And remember, it's all for Him. And then pray that the Lord sends you souls and that people come to you so that you can, speak with them about their faith and maybe bring them back to Christ in the church.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So thanks so much for being with us today. Are you able to come to our immersion in June? You hear about that? What we're having in Detroit?
It's I heard about it and I wish I could, but it's very hard for me to get away in the meantime. Because I do take care of my elderly mom and at times it's very difficult. I get help from my brother and sister, but it's hard to get away at the present time, but I'm seeing things, for this year opening up. So I'm hoping to be able to attend more events, in this year coming up.
That's great. Well, that's wonderful that you take care of your mom and everything. That's hard work. I mean, that's what it's like. This is part of all the other things you do in your life. This isn't like, this is all I do. And I think, and you still find it rewarding. You still find the time to do it. And I'm so inspired by the volunteers like that. It's just getting out there. The Lord rewards those that go out for Him.
Well, I agree. I'm thankful for my brother and sister because there have been times I said, we really need to get out there. There's an event we want to really evangelize. Mm-hmm. And they'll both say, get out there and go. We'll come over and take care of things. Mm-hmm. And so I don't have that worry in the back of my mind. And if there were anything else, I would say, ever since I've been a little kid, it's since my confirmation and my grandmother gave me a miraculous medal to wear in eighth grade as a gift for my confirmation. And I've never taken that off. And I would say devotion to Mary and a strong devotion to her helps immensely if she points the way in evangelization.
Amen. That's beautiful. That's a long time to be wearing that miraculous medal.
And it works.
She's been protecting you the whole time. That's great.
So that's about us. Yeah. That's about as what I have to say. I don't know if you had any more questions or.
Well, no, that was just it. I mean, Phil, we just wanted you to come on and just share all the good that the Lord is doing, through you. And, thank you again so much. I think the only other thing is just letting other people know what's going on with our apostolate. I mentioned the immersion. We're inviting people to come to Detroit this upcoming June. That it's going to be that first weekend, Pentecost weekend. It's going to be that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we're inviting people to come in for a training and,
But Brian, it's not just a training. It's an evangelization training intensive. We're going to be training, but we're also going to be hitting the streets. We'll be evangelizing every day. You'll be able to
evangelize wonderful
with evangelists from all over the country. Lots of hands-on. So if you want to be immersed in the culture of evangelization and get like a really good kickstart to your summer as your teams are getting started, this is the thing to come to. I'm so excited for the event. I think it's going to be amazing.
It really is.
I think it's going to be phenomenal. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have stuff for team leaders, and then we'll also have stuff for evangelists, you know, who want to just learn how it is that I can be a more effective evangelist. So, you know, all areas and aspects of leadership are going to be be focused on during this immersion.
So it sounds wonderful. As a matter of fact, one of the guys that evangelizes with me, who's a teacher in a Catholic high school, has his Master of Theology degree from Sacred Heart in Detroit.
Oh, that's great.
That is really great. It's a great seminary.
So, I think so.
It's been so wonderful to hear your stories and your inspiration. I'm sure the team leaders that are listening are inspired also. You know, that's what we're about. You know, we are St. Paul's Street Evangelization. And what we do, right. We train, equip, and mobilize Catholics to do that extraordinary work of evangelization in order to save souls. And you're a example of that. So thank you.
Oh, well, I'm humbled by that. Thank you. And I'm honored to be a part of St. Paul's Street Evangelization. I can't put words to it. It's just a great organization. I'm glad Steve started.
Yeah, God bless.
Well, God bless you.
Yeah.
Bless you too. Yeah.